To a time of prayer this morning. You can be seated. Father God, we just come to you this morning and I want to mix it up a little bit. Instead of coming with our list of needs and wants, and those are all good. God, you invite those. You tell us to come to you with those. You tell us to ask and we shall receive, and you tell us that we don't have because we haven't prayed and we haven't asked, but we do that a lot, and God, you're worthy of more, and I want to start this morning's prayer with just adoration. So can we take a few moments in our own hearts to lift up who you are to us, what you've done just this morning already. The blessings today and yesterday and the way your grace reigned over us this week. We want to lift that up to you first this morning. And God, my prayer is for those of us that don't start our mornings like this every morning, would you change that? Would you convict us? Would we start each morning with some moments of adoration before we turn on the news or before we turn on the radio in our car on the way to work? Could we spare 30 seconds to just thank you for who you are? And God, we've gotten so much feedback about this grace series already. And as the author of Grace, I sat with the letters G-R-A-C-E, and we watched that video last week before the sermon that so many people could not describe grace, didn't understand it. And those people are around us, God, every day in our workplace and our neighbors. To them, grace was somewhat foreign. It was out of reach. It was not really understood, but as your people, God, we should know it inside and out. And would it pour out of us? And as I think about G-R-A-C-E, what does that mean? It means that gained righteousness happened at Christ's expense. It means that grace is received and can't be earned. Grace is you giving us redemption and communion to everyone. Grace means that God really always can endure. God, the gift of grace is so much more than we can wrap our brains around, but I just want to praise you and thank you for that this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
How about we just keep adding on, Lene? We talked last week about grace. We defined it, but we use these un-words that showed us the character of grace. We said it was unfathomable. That means no matter how long we live, we'll never get to the bottom of how deep God's love is through his grace. We talked about how it's unmerited, how there's nothing we can do to earn God's grace. We talked about how it's unconditional, that God isn't waiting for you to get your act together before he comes at you with his love through grace. We also talked about the last one was it's unrestricted. And that means that God's grace is free. No strings attached. And we summarized grace in a definition last week that said, grace is God's love coming at us, and it has nothing to do with us. And it has everything to do with us. And that's how we define grace. Good morning. How are y'all doing? You look, it's a good-looking group this morning. You know, I think it's kind of cool. We all week long, there's a lot of things we do, but one thing we do is we prepare for this moment. And to see your smiling faces come through the ice and the cold, and nobody fell in the parking lot, right? It's a little slick out there, but we're just glad you're here. Because I don't think anybody, once they get here, they regret ever being here. Amen? Amen. But to our guests, we're really happy you're here. And we hope you feel like family the moment you walk through the door. But we're really glad you're worshiping with us today because we're all Christ's family. My name is Brian Smith. I'm our lead pastor here at Westview Community Church. And we're going to continue on in week two about this thing called grace. So I was thinking about this word grace, and I think a lot of times when we hear the word grace, we hear it kind of in what we would say common use. For example, how many people still right before dinner say, let's give grace? It's a way of describing how we pray. Or maybe some people say, I'm writing my check to the credit card company because I've only got 15 more days of grace before I get in trouble. Or sometimes we watch somebody in the ballet and say, wow, her moves are so graceful. And then sometimes you trip and people call you Grace, right? Good job, Grace. But the part that's most important about this sermon series is that grace is not common. Grace is amazing. It's amazing. And we're gonna not only spend 4 weeks talking about amazing grace, we're going to spend some time today talking about why is it amazing, and we're going to focus on the one event which was the greatest grace moment ever in history. So to do that, we need two things. One, I need you to open your Bible or your Bible app on your phone, and I'd like you to turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, starting in verse 1. If you don't have those with you, we have Bibles you can take home with you for free. They're right up here, or just ask our people in our Welcome Center. We'll also have it up overhead. I'm going to read out the New Living Translation. And when we get to these scripture verses, we're actually going to do 1 through 10. So I want you to keep your finger there on those verses because we're going to go through them through the whole service. So stay in that place. The second thing is, while we have God's Word to help us describe what grace is, the second thing that we need to understand before we can understand grace is, what is sin? If we're going to understand how amazing grace is, then we got to understand what sin is. So we're going to start there. So sin. What is sin? Sin is any thought, thoughts count too, or action, that falls short of God's will. Pretty simple definition. You see, God is perfect. He actually created in Genesis humankind to be perfect. We at one time were perfect. There was no sin. But one day, the first human beings, Adam and Eve, they decided their way was better than God's way, and sin was introduced into the world. Since God is perfect and sin is not, we had to be separated from God's presence at that moment, because God cannot be in the presence of sin. I want to tell you that God hates sin. And before you see him as this person up there that has a magnifying glass and we're just a bunch of ants running around a hill and he's trying to zap us in, the reason God hates sin is because how it hurts the people he created and the people he loves. That's why God hates sin. God gave us this gift called a conscience. And that conscience is what tells us when we enter into things that are sinful. And it's designed to help keep us out of those areas. Let me use a stool here to give you an example. God is seated on his throne in heaven, so is his son, Jesus. When we choose to sin, what we are saying at that moment is that, God, I don't believe your perfect will is right. Or, God, I don't trust that your perfect will is right. Or, God, can you turn your back for a moment because the temptation's too much and I just can't get out of this. To sin is to ignore God, is to ignore our conscience. And they describe this as rebellion in the Bible. When God sits on the throne, perfect, and we choose to sin, we in essence move him off the throne and we sit on it, saying, I know what's right in this moment. I know what's right in this time. And for a moment, we try to move him off the throne and think we can be on the throne. That's how rebellious sin is. If you look at your first sermon note together with me, for our guests, when you come through the door, you got this worship guide, and there's these outline here for the sermon today. You can take home and you can go back over and look at this. The first sermon note, sin says, I'm in charge. That's what sin says. It says, I'm in charge. It says at that moment, God, I know what's better. And so I want you, let's jump into Ephesians 2, verse 1, and this gives us the description of sin. The scripture reads, once You were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us, and I want you to underline that in your Bible, if you're okay with underlining. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So Ephesians gives us this picture of what sin is and what it does. That first sin that came in through Adam and Eve, it's so important to understand this. That sin caused death, two kinds of death. The first death it caused, what we call spiritual death. It separated us from God. Adam and Eve had to leave the presence of God and had to leave the garden. So the first death that occurred was a spiritual death. Separation from God is death. I hope we all understand that spiritually. That's not where we want to be. The second death it caused was physical death. You see, Adam and Eve were immortal. Humankind was designed to be immortal. And when we chose to sin, it brought to us all physical death. Guys, we all have a disease. It's 100% mortality. We're all going to die one day physically. Since Adam and Eve, sin has been passed down from generation to generation, and we're born into a state of sinfulness. It talks about it right here in Ephesians, our nature. We're born into a nature of sinfulness. And because of sin, this is important, we are all dead. So the question is, if we're all dead, as it says here in the very first part, once you were dead, what changed? If we're all dead in sin, then what saved us? Well, why don't you take a look at sermon note number 2. Sin, to understand the importance of this, sin deserves vengeance. It deserves justice and death. Our only hope is grace. I want to give you a scenario here. This one's kind of hard, but it just meets what we're trying to say. Imagine you have a 6-year-old who's murdered by somebody, a 6-year-old child that's murdered. I know, God forbid this would ever happen. Who's murdered by somebody, and that person is caught. As a parent, the first thing in my mind is vengeance. You have to keep me from coming across the table and taking that guy out. That's the way my heart's going to respond at first, is vengeance. I want justice. I'm going to go get it. But instead, we normally yield to the legal system. The legal system captured this person. They brought him to jail. They put him in shackles, and they put him into a court. They apply the moral law of our nation, and he's found guilty. And the punishment for the murder of that 6-year-old son of mine to that person who murdered him is death. Vengeance, justice, the payment's death. But then there's this other word that we're focusing on called grace. Grace pardons that murderer. Now, let me make sure we understand the difference between forgiveness and pardoning. Forgiveness is where I move to a state where I've let go of that and I've forgiven them. Pardon wipes their slate clean, like it never happened. Grace pardons that murderer for what they did, and it invites them into their home to be part of their family, to live forever. Now, you and I would look at this and say, I understand restraining my vengeance. Vengeance is the Lord's. That's what it says in Romans 12. Vengeance is his. It's not ours. I understand vengeance. I appreciate justice, and I appreciate the penalty that's meted out for justice. But grace, pardon, invite into my house, make them part of my family for eternity. No way I can ever get to that step. But ladies and gentlemen, God does that every day for those of us who believe in Jesus and sin. Every day, he pardons us when we ask forgiveness. He separates that as far as the east is from the west. He wipes our slate clean. He welcomes us as his children for eternity. And that is grace. And that's not common grace. That is amazing grace. Grace is amazing. That's the part where you say, how amazing is it? So let's try it again. Let's try it. Grace is amazing. Thank you for asking. This is important. How can God give us grace like that? Why is it so amazing? So look at sermon note number 3 with me. This is even more amazing. Sermon note number 3. We got God's grace. Jesus got our justice. Let's go back to Ephesians 2. Let's understand what the scripture is, starting in verse 4. It says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Even though we were dead in sin, God gave us grace. He loved us so much, he sent his son to earth to save us. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection satisfied God's vengeance and his justice that we deserved. The penalty for death was paid with death. God gave us grace. Jesus got our justice. This grace is amazing. Good. It gets better. It gets more. I don't know if that's good grammar, but it gets more. Not only did God save us through Jesus, go back and look at verse 6. He seated us on the throne with his son in the heavenly realms. That's amazing grace. He pardoned us, made us his family, and he seated us with his son. Everything God did was because he loves us, those he created. There's just one thing. We have to receive this grace. That's all. There's just a response. So what is that response? Look at sermon note number 4 with me. God doesn't save good people. What? God doesn't save good people. Let me do this exercise with you. I want all of us to close our eyes for a moment. I mean, really, close your eyes. Clear your mind for a second, because I'm going to ask you a really important question. Everybody's minds cleared? If death knocks on our door at 1 o'clock this afternoon, will I have 100% confidence, 100% confidence that I will be in heaven? Open your eyes. I'm going to guess that half this room hesitated on that question. Why? When you peel back that onion, it's like, at 1 o'clock this afternoon, death takes me. Am I 100%, no question asked, 100% confident I'll be in heaven? You peel back that onion, and a lot of us will hesitate because we're wondering if we were good enough. That's always a hesitation. I think so is how it sounds when it comes out of your mind and out of your mouth. Is I think so. That's not 100%. Now, for those of you who think I'm not good enough, stop it. I want you to read with me verse 8. Let's go to verse 8 of Ephesians 2. In verse 9, the scripture reads, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. God doesn't save you because you're good. He saved you because you believe. All we had to do is respond. God saved us by grace alone. It happened when we believed in Jesus. It happened when we received the free gift of grace by faith and believing in Jesus. Somebody that went and paid the penalty of death for us so we didn't have to. That's why it's so important to believe in Jesus. Quit with the good things mindset. That'll come from something else. If you still are stuck on this good enough thing, I want to warn you that there will never be a place, a position, or a stance in life where you ever will be good enough. We can't do that on our own. And we don't have to. That is amazing grace. Grace is amazing. One more time. Guys, it gets better. I'm not done yet. So look at sermon note number 5. It even gets more amazing. Through grace, God justifies a believer who is still a sinner. God doesn't wait until we're cleaned up on the outside and inside to declare us right with him. So we use this old school word, this big word called justification. Justification is being made right with God. When I'm made right with God, I have eternity in relationship with God. Justification is when God removes the guilt and penalty of sin while at the same time making the sinner right with him through the sacrifice of Jesus. At the same time, God does two things. He removes our guilt and suffering and pain, and he makes us right with him through what Jesus did on the cross. And this is why it's so amazing. He did it while we're still sinners. Who sinned before they got here this morning? Who probably will still sin at least maybe once today? We hope not, but we know that we're still sinners. We know that we're going to trip. We're going to stumble. We want to get better at it. Amen. But he did this while he made us right while we're still sinners. Once and for all, by grace, when we believed, we were made right with God and given eternal life. Period. Transaction completed. Even though We hadn't gone to church yet. Even though we haven't tithed yet. Even though we haven't been baptized yet. Beautiful story in Luke is when the thief on the cross to Jesus' right asked Jesus, as he's dying and paying the same death penalty for whatever terrible things he did, he asked Jesus to remember him. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't go to church. He hadn't tithed. He was made right at that moment, even though he was still a sinner. That should give us all the hope in the world. The moment we believe, we enter through a door called justification. And the moment we walk through that door, we begin a journey when we follow Christ. And we begin a new journey of maturity. And we're so changed here by who Jesus is and what he's done that we change. And we call that sanctification. Big word. It means every day we grow to be more like Jesus. That is what a changed heart looks like. And that sin becomes less and less. And my life looks more like his because of the changed heart. The worship team would come up with me. There's a way that we celebrate this, and there's a way that we remember this, and it's called communion. For our guests today, I want to invite you that if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we ask you please join us in communion. This Christ Church is a big church. We don't have the corner on the market here. And you're here with us today, and you're part of that body of Christ, so we're glad you're here with us. And the ushers here are going to distribute the elements around, and there's going to be a little piece of bread and a little thing of juice. And we ask that you hold them. We're going to go into worship here together, and we're going to focus on this amazing grace together, and then we're going to take the elements together in just a little bit. So open your hearts and minds up as we worship this amazing grace.
Sin washed away in your blood. Too much to make sense of it all. I know that your love breaks my fall. The scandal of grace, you died in my place, so my soul. Has taught me to live in mercy, my heart now to sing. Today in his trouble shall come. I know that your strength is enough. The scandal of grace, you died in my place, so my soul.
take the piece of bread with me and just hold it like this. I want to read from you 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and the grace that we see in Jesus' words. The scripture says on the night Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it into pieces. He gave it to those he loved around him. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So let's do that. Let's take this together, remembering that this piece of bread symbolizes the grace, the amazing grace and sacrifice of Jesus' body for us. Would you hold up the cup with me? In Corinthians, the scripture continues. It says, "In the same way, Jesus took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant.'" It's a new agreement between God and his people. It's an agreement, Jesus said, that is confirmed with his blood. And that's what this juice symbolizes, is his blood. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink from it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes back." So let's take this together, remembering the amazing grace in the blood that was poured out for us. Right now, we are celebrating and remembering the greatest act of grace that has ever occurred in history. Because of the grace of God through Jesus, we are saved. We're forgiven. We have hope for eternal life. And that's why grace is so amazing. Ushers, would you come forward for the offering, please? And let's bow our heads in worship again. Heavenly Father, here is our act of worship for you, is that we don't quit trying to be good. We just need to believe. We just need to believe about this free gift of grace. Father, let that change our hearts here. The good will come in a changed heart and a life that's changed. But Father, some of us here today just need to go back to receiving that grace. Some of us, Father, here have never received that free gift of grace in Jesus. I'm asking, Father, right now, stir our hearts, because when our hearts change for who Jesus is and what he's done, that amazing grace, watch out and watch your church as you work through us. So, Father, our offering here, too, is everything that we can give to move the mission of this church, to share this amazing grace with other people who do not know Christ, who've never made that decision, to step across that line and say, "I'm going to follow him." And at that moment are changed forever. Father, give us a bold church who loves loud, goes out in that culture, and through your power changes hearts through amazing grace. We pray it's in the name of the one and the greatest act ever of grace, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Oh, to be
I shared a story about John Newton, a wretched sailor who became a pastor and through God's power changed the world. He wrote a song called Faith, Review, and Expectation. We know it today as Amazing Grace. We sang this earlier, but I'd like us to sing that first verse together again. So can we do that?
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
I'm going to stop the song there 1 second. That's really horribly rude. Stop such a beautiful song. But grace is more amazing than that. You got it. Let's change that verse. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But it's more amazing than that. If we look at the very last verse and we look at Sermon Note 6, I once was lost, but now I'm a masterpiece. That's in the very last verse here of Ephesians 2. After God painted the picture of where we were dead in our sin and what his son did and what changed us, he finishes with this verse. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Sometimes we forget about the power of God's grace and we still live like a wretch. We are not a wretch. We are found, but it's more beautiful than even now. We are his masterpiece. And imagine God every day painting on that canvas, which is you. Every day when my heart changes and I go on that journey, he keeps working on that masterpiece. You have to walk out of here not as a wretch. He loves you, and you're his masterpiece. If you've never known that, if you've never accepted Christ, you've never have known the grace of God, I want to invite you to come up after the service right here, and we'll walk with you. Just come up and say, I'm there. I want to know more about him, and I want you to walk with me. And we will. We'll introduce you to the Savior of amazing grace. Amen? So I want to go back to one more scripture. Let's end with this fourth verse today of amazing grace, because it talks about what we're all looking forward to. Because of his amazing grace, we have hope for eternity. Let's finish with that one.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shine. Then when we first
and amen. Before you leave, if you're a guest or visitor, please stop by our welcome booth with the Connect card at the bottom of your worship guide. And I'm going to leave you with one more meaning for the word grace, G-R-A-C-E. God reigns and Christ is exalted. Amen. Go in his grace this morning.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves.